Welcome to In Our Backyard, WORT's local news Monday through Thursday. I'm Corey Graves.
And I'm Robert McClure. Tonight in Our Backyard, a young woman's journey to Senegal and to a new perspective on life.
That's tonight in Our Backyard for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2009. In 2003, Katie Kruger traveled to Dakar, Senegal, with a well-laid plan to improve her knowledge of the French language and serve the community through her Rotary Foundation ambassadorial scholarship. But, as Katie learned, the best-laid plans are often derailed. In their place, Katie experienced life lessons learned through language that helped her appreciate the Senegalese secret to a joyful living. And she captured many of these lessons in her book, Give with Gratitude, Lessons Learned Listening to West Africa. We have Katie in the studio tonight to tell us a little bit more about the book and about these treasures, these proverbs that she was able to experience and write about. So, Katie, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I enjoyed reading some of the book, and one of the questions I wanted to ask just right off is, you describe how all of your plans were just completely derailed, that the way you imagined this experience became untenable. So, how did you recover?
Well, you know, as Americans, I think we really want to lay out the plans for our lives, and we have these to-do lists and these things that we think are going to turn out as we hope. And once I got to Senegal, of course, nothing turned out quite like I had expected. And with that, I really had to listen to the Senegalese and listen to their own wisdom on how they live their lives. I couldn't go to Senegal and try to live my American life and be successful there. The only way to be successful there was to live like a Senegalese person would and live their life. And I really learned how to take it easy, sort of. They have a much more laid-back attitude on living, and they really take life as it comes, step by step, as they say. And so that's sort of what I did. Instead of trying to struggle through and get to what I thought would be the best outcome, I tried to learn as best I could to take life as it came and just take each day for what it was worth and let things flow as they did.
And it sounds like a lot of that learning, that process of sort of burdening yourself with schedule came through suffering. How do the Senegalese draw suffering into this practice of letting every day come and sort of maintaining a joyful, happy existence?
Well, the Senegalese are without a doubt the happiest people I've ever been lucky enough to experience in a culture. Everywhere you look, people are smiling and laughing and just enjoying one another. And so at the surface, you don't see a lot of suffering, but of course, once you get to know people and know family situations, as anybody in life does, they suffer through illness and loss and things like that. But I think what really gets them through this is their really strong community. They have a very, very strong community and family, you know, an extended family that extends to the end of the earth, really. And they have this idea that, you know, by sharing everything that they have, by sharing their time and their space and their material goods, their joys are doubled, but their sorrows are also halved. And I really believe that's true. Even in a situation of loss, the Senegalese are willing to share it with one another, take on a burden of a friend, and mm-hmm. make it easier for them.
Mm-hmm. That's a very powerful idea, that the joys are doubled, but the sorrows are halved. And again, in just reading some of your book, you describe that you had to reevaluate the energy of your life. And I'm just going to quickly read that once you reset that scale, you had to decide what else you would focus on. And you say, friends and family, the Senegalese would tell me, why all this time spent concerned about moving up towards what? More money, more recognition? Anything worth having and any place worth going is best shared. And that idea of community and sharing seems to come through in everything you experienced with the Senegalese. So can you tell us about the lunch program and the way that you were able to then sort of give back? What did come out of your time there?
Sure. Sharing is sort of at the heart of the Senegalese culture. I was there, I befriended two other American women who we would often they were there under Rotary Ambassadorial Scholarships as well, and so we would often have these conversations about how lucky we felt to have this opportunity and kind of ask ourselves how we could pay that forward. And so what we wanted to do was focus our attention on students and help students in Senegal like we had been helped. So we did what we thought would be a small fundraiser for a local school in our community in Dakar, and we asked our friends and family, you know, via email if they would be willing to give a gift to the school on our behalf, and we were very humbled by their generosity. We thought what we thought would be just a few $100 ended up being almost $3,000, and the dollar goes pretty far, or at least at that time went pretty far in Senegal, and that was enough for us to sit down with the school and ask them how we could make a real difference. And it turns out that one of the most pervasive needs at the school was also one of the most basic, and that was hunger. About a third of their students, this was an elementary school in Dakar, our neighborhood, and about a third of the students weren't eating lunch either. They couldn't afford lunch, they didn't have lunch money, or they would go home and not come back to class because they couldn't afford the fare back to school. And so with the money that we raised, we were able to help the school build a kitchen, hire a cook, stock the kitchen, and serve lunch in the afternoons. And we did it for the remainder of the school year that we were there, and then continued to do that since we've been back. So excellent. It's been 5 years going strong.
That's excellent. And did you tell me that they are $400 away from being self-sustaining?
Yeah, our goal from the beginning was to help them build something that they could take over eventually, that we didn't want them to build the dependence on us and in case, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, we couldn't help them in the future. So we've been helping them build income-generating projects that help support the program. So out of a $4,000 annual budget, we only had to give $400 the last year. So we're very, very close to sustainability and really excited and really proud of the school for some of the projects they've undertaken to get here.
Well, that, again, just shows that the idea of sharing in community is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last couple of minutes that we have, can you tell us, have you been able to sustain some of the lessons you learned in Senegal?
Oh, it's so hard to be back here in the United States and try to live a Senegalese lifestyle. We move so fast here, and mm-hmm. if you were tried to live at a Senegalese pace, you just wouldn't survive. You couldn't cut it. I have been able to adopt small little things, though. For example, the entire year that I lived in Senegal, not one person asked me America's favorite question, which is, what do you do?
Yeah.
And in Senegal, not a single person asked me that for the entire time I was there. They simply don't care. They first want to know about your family and your friends, and then second, you know, if you're unfortunately not employed or not having an ideal job, they don't want to hurt your feelings. So nobody ever asked me that. So I've really tried to do that here. So I've probably made a few, people think I was rude by not asking about them, but I try to get to the other things in their lives and see if I can't try to value people for other things.
That's excellent. And just in the last minutes, if people are interested in learning more about your trip, about the book, and about Senegal and maybe how they can help?
Sure, definitely. The book's website is givewithgratitude.com, and there you can see the book, read a couple chapters, and learn more about it. You can also, from that website, get to my own website and to the website of Project Japale Gune, which is the name of the school lunch program. So from there, you can find what you need online.
Excellent. So one more time, it's givewithgratitude.com.
Yep.
Excellent. And they can locate you and the project.
Yep.
Wonderful. And in the last minute, is there anything else you want to share with us about your trip, about the time, about lessons learned through West Africa?
I think just in general, and the title of the book gets at this, but the Senegalese are so good at being grateful for what they have, no matter what it is. They focus so much on the gifts that their family are, that their health is, that their friends are, and they rarely focus on what they don't have. And here in the States, we have this obsession with upward mobility and trying to get what we don't quite yet have. And so I would just encourage people out there to try to change your attitude, even if it's just for one day, and think about the things that you have to be grateful for. And I think you'll see that it really does make your life a lot better.
Wonderful. That was Katie Kruger talking with us about her time in Senegal and about her book, Give with Gratitude, Lessons Learned Listening to West Africa. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks for having me.